This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's turn to an important social issue. We're going to use this as a kind of a public awareness campaign because March is Endometriosis Awareness Month, and I think it gives us an opportunity to just learn a little bit more about a condition that afflicts so many women. It's surprising to me, and ultimately could impact their fertility. And if not, it just really makes the experience, the physiological experience of a woman during her menstrual season to be such a painful, painful thing, unnecessarily so. And many women suffer from this than you would know. And we're going to use this as an opportunity just to learn a little bit more about what is endometriosis and how to treat it. We're joined by Dr. Vuyo Makanya, a gynecologist and obstetrician. Dr. Makanya, good morning.
Morning, Lerato, and morning to the listeners at home.
And we're also joined by Wanga Neswiswi, who is a woman activist and endometriosis for the Endometriosis Coalition of South Africa. Wanga, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Wanga. The fact that there's even an Endometriosis Coalition of South Africa is surprising to me. And why should it? Because so many women are suffering from it.
Correct.
Sure. Why is it that we hear about it, but we don't really talk about it? Why do you think that is, Wanga?
Okay, I just want to greet everyone that is listening, even the Endometriosis Coalition group. I know that they're listening right now. I think just despite the fact that South Africa is a developing country, there is not much awareness from also government itself, from the health sector itself around endometriosis, which makes it very hard to then identify it on yourself that I might be suffering from this condition.
Okay. And I just want to stay with you a little bit, Wanga, because, you know, obviously I'm a woman and I have a tribe of women who are friends and family. And I was just surprised how many women were being diagnosed with endometriosis, but late, huh? Not in their early 20s, sort of in their 30s, when it was now just becoming so painful, so untenable, and people were struggling to fall pregnant. And I would say one in every five women I was meeting, I mean, I don't know what the real stats are, but it felt like it. It became more prevalent that women are suffering an enduring endometriosis.
In women experience a long diagnostic delay and do not receive appropriate medical health. According to a study that was carried out in South Africa on factors contributing to infertility, reported that a lot of black population, there's a lower than 2% of women that are found with endometriosis, but according to the white population, it is 7%. So in the African population, generally in South Africa, our symptoms as women are very sidelined, very ignored for long periods of time, which becomes problematic when it comes to infertility.
Okay, let's bring in Dr. Vuyo Makanya as the scientist and the doctor in our midst. So how common is endometriosis, just in terms of how often you encounter and diagnose it in patients?
Yes, according to studies, the prevalence is about 2% in black population, 7% in white population. Mm-hmm. But I would say 50% of women presenting with pelvic pain or lower abdominal pain, they are ultimately diagnosed with endometriosis.
Okay, so why do you think we pick it up later in life? Because that's what I have found to happen, is that, you know, women will be in their 20s and will be wild and having fun, and sometimes you have your period and it's painful, you know, but you don't really pay much attention. And then you get to that era where you say, okay, I'm married and I want to have children, and then boom, enter the diagnosis. And it turns out you've had it for 10 years and you weren't aware of it. Why do we pick it up so late as members of the black community? Dr. Makanya.
I think the there are lots of factors contributing to that. It could be patient related, it could be cultural or healthcare worker related. In our black population, most of the time, women are not empowered to express themselves regarding whatever they are feeling, whatever they are going through.
Right.
Yes. So sometimes you find that it's regarded that it's normal that one could have pure sex, but not clearly explained as to the end of the severity. What is normal and what is abnormal.
Wanga, you're nodding there, and I'm thinking of the words that are attached to period pains for women. Oh, unali siloma, unali, you know? And so then they tell you, put a hot water bottle and just relax, drink a panado. Meanwhile, you're probably suffering from a very serious disease.
For example, I have been living with endometriosis for 9 years. I was actually diagnosed early, fortunately. I was 17, still in high school, when I was diagnosed with endometriosis. And I feel periods or menstruation itself has a very negative connotation attached to it. That's why also in our black communities, we don't speak about it. And society in general is still a very big taboo. So such conversations are not had in society, because generally it's something that is very shied away from.
So women are suffering in silence. Okay. Dr. Makanya, what is endometriosis? What is actually happening to the body when they say you've got endometriosis?
Endometriosis is estrogen-dependent chronic inflammation, which is characterized by the growth of endometrium, which is the inner lining of the womb, outside the womb. So it can be found anywhere in the pelvis, abdomen, the bowel, the bladder. Sometimes it can even spread further to the diaphragm, the lungs, and so on.
It can spread to the lungs?
Yes.
It can. Yes.
My goodness. Okay, so help us understand. So the woman's reproductive organs, just keep it simple for us. You've got a uterus, you've got some fallopian tubes, you've got your ovaries and eggs, and then there's the womb somewhere there. So where does this endometriosis manifest when you say it kind of affects the uterine lining? Which part of this reproductive system are we talking about?
Yes, we have a womb. The inside of the womb, in medical terms, we call it the endometrium. That's the lining that usually sloughs off and comes out as blood during the menses. So when that line starts depositing outside the womb, we call it endometriosis.
Aha. So how does it manifest in the body of a woman? So we know it because every month women go to their menses, and depending on how heavy or light or whatever, you could be suffering from it. And then what happens?
It can present as constant lower abdominal pain or pelvic pain. But usually it presents with or as period pains. During menses, women get severe pains. They can get associated GIT or bladder symptoms, which are connected to the menses. And most of the time, especially in black communities, we diagnose it when the patient presents with infertility, because most of the time they come with infertility. And then when you take an extensive history and so on, then you see that there are problems. And as well, there is a psychological part of it, because most of the time, women with endometriosis, they are always in a depressed mood or low mood. They are always tired. They don't want to do anything, and so on. So it's very important to go deeper into the history. Try to.
I just want to stay with you just for another second, Dr. Makanya. So we're talking about women and their menses, and then ultimately, when you decide to have a child, it's when you realize you've got a real problem. But before you get there, so the endometriosis kind of shows up around the time of menstruation. And then after those 8 days, does it go away and then come back again? Or is this something that is in your system and is building up slowly and tearing away at your uterine lining?
It's a problem which is constantly there, but it gets worse during the menses. Some women, because of the distortion of normal anatomy or normal parts of the body, they get constant pain. It's always there. And some of them, they will present with pain during sexual intercourse, and so on.
Okay. Wanga, how have you experienced endometriosis? How has it shown up in your body? How has it changed your life and your relationships, if indeed it does even present itself, it flares up during intercourse?
So with my personal journey, it's like doctor said, it's constant pain. So you can imagine being told by a doctor that this is chronic and there is no cure, you can only treat it. And even the treatment that is there doesn't necessarily help holistically. It can take away the pain for that time, but then it is constant, like doctor said. It has affected my academics. I did actually drop out at some point because I could not do both. I could not do school and have the amount of surgeries that I've had to date because of the endometriosis. And it's a whole body disease. It's not just, you know, your reproductive organs being in distress. I mean, it also affects your constipation sometimes. You're unable to go to the toilet for a long time, and you know, you need to go to surgery so you can get some type of relief. So academically, emotionally, just as you said, I was also at some point taking antidepressants because I was in university and I was diagnosed or declared as a student with a disability, you know, but this was an invisible disability. It was not available to everyone to see, but it was something that I was going through.
I want you to tell us a little bit more about how it shows up in your body, because so I just want to be clear, I've not suffered from endometriosis.
Okay.
Certainly not that I know of, but I've worked with colleagues and one of my closest cousins has suffered with it to the point where she had to have a hysterectomy at a fairly young age, but that's another issue altogether. So, you know, you see someone, they look perfectly normal.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they're sick, they've got cramps, and then the cramps get worse, and then the person can't get up, go to work, and then they have headaches, and then, you know, and then they're okay again, and then it flares up. This is why I asked the doctor, is this something that only shows up once in a month, or is this a whole lifestyle that's changing?
It's an entire lifestyle that changes. I mean, I have endometriosis also on my ovaries, so I have something called recurring ovarian cysts, which means it ruptures on a monthly to monthly basis. So from doing your normal daily activities, from eating, just getting up to take a shower can be challenging at times. Your body is aching almost every time. You have to have a water bottle. When it's cold, your body gets excruciating pain, your headaches as well, that they then classify as migraine as well. So it's quite a lifestyle. Your life literally changes. So you basically alter your life according to the pain.
Okay, doc, so please also explain to us some of the medical, what would we call it, ramifications or side effects, if that's the right word, once you have endometriosis. Because here is Wanga saying, you know, first it shows up in my menses. The next thing, I've got ovarian cysts. I know with some people it shows up in the form of fibroids growing. All sorts of things start to happen to a woman's reproductive organs, and then people are constantly having to have surgery to remove this blockage, surgery to remove that blockage. And as I say, Dr. Makanya, in the case of my cousin, she ended up having a hysterectomy in her 30s.
Yes, she's telling the truth. About 20 to 50% of patients with endometriosis, they have coexisting migraine headaches, they've got irritable bowel syndrome, they've got bladder interstitial cystitis. But one of the most important things is we usually look at surgery and pharmacological treatment. But we shouldn't overlook the importance of non-medical and non-surgical treatment, such as pain management. We have pain clinics in South Africa. We should also look at the psychological impact of it. It's a multidisciplinary team approach. We should involve the pain management team. We should involve the psychologists. We should encourage support groups to be formed. Coming exactly to your question, we have a variety of drugs which we usually use. Most of them, we use them to suppress ovulation in order to suppress menses and suppress the growth of endometriosis. But that is not a definite treatment because it does not cure. It only controls the symptoms. Only about 60% of patients involved, they do respond to the treatment. At certain points, we need to combine surgery with medical treatment, which improves the functioning of the patient. But it's a chronic disease that does not go away, and it impairs the fertility. Even the treatment suppresses ovulation. So it's very difficult to fall pregnant on treatment and so on. So it's a very difficult balance.
But not everybody who has endometriosis is then rendered infertile. So please explain that. Some people end up having problems falling pregnant, but not everybody with endometriosis, has an infertility issue.
Yes, if you look at stats, about 40% of patients with endometriosis will have associated infertility because of poor ovulation, because of blocked tubes and distortion of normal pelvic anatomy. However, some of them, they do fall pregnant. About 60% they do fall pregnant with or without medical assistance.
Okay, that's one of the things I'd like us to explore in a moment, Wanga, the psychological impact, especially when you say at university you were then declared as having a disability, and that's actually the thing that caused you some depression, not that you had endometriosis, that people started to classify you in a particular way. And then it's this issue of infertility, because children are such an important facet of African cultural life that if we don't understand endometriosis, it leading to infertility, a woman may suffer the social stigma unnecessarily.
Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
It is Endometriosis Awareness Month this March, a condition that afflicts many, many women. The prevalence at the moment shows 2% of African women, so women of Black African descent, suffer from endometriosis, whereas it's showing up at 7% in European Caucasian women, white women. And there is a sense that these statistics aren't truly reflective of the prevalence rate, because many African women who might be living with endometriosis would be having a misdiagnosis. What is endometriosis? It's a condition in which the lining of the uterus, which is basically where the baby would sit in the womb, that lining of the uterus, known as the endometrium, grows in places that it shouldn't. So it starts spreading to the bladder, to the bowels, even to the diaphragm, punctuating, I guess, your ability to breathe properly, your ability to urinate, and just for your body clock to work properly. And in some cases, when it goes untreated and it gets very, very severe, the inflammation inside of your body could lead to an infertility. But it doesn't always lead to an infertility, but it is one of the side effects. We're in conversation with Dr. Vuyo Makanya, a gynecologist and obstetrician, along with Wanga Nesuiswi, a woman activist for the Endometriosis Coalition of South Africa. Doc, I want to know, is it genetic?
Yes, there is a genetic component to it, because there are different theories that it could be embryological, but it's familial as well. If there is a member affected in the family, there is a greater chance that other members will be affected. Yes, so there is a genetic component to it.
Okay, so Wanga, just before we take a question from Lati, in African society, once you get married, there's this expectation you're going to have children. And once you can't have children, oh my gosh, it's very, very serious. And a lot of pressure gets put on a woman to fall pregnant. And yet all these things could be happening to her body. And that's where some of the psychological impact issues come into play.
I think, you know, what doctor said earlier, self-empowerment, especially as a woman that has endometriosis or any other similar condition, is very important. So advocacy for self is very important. And also finding yourself joining a lot of women. There are thousands of women in South Africa going through this. Joining, just like how endometriosis correlation was started, it was a bunch of women that came together having this condition and wanting to shed light on each other and the world. So it's very important when you are faced with infertility and those type of stigmas to understand your condition, understand how you can also heal yourself traditionally as well, or holistically as a person, because psychologically it will affect you if you do not know anything about it.
Lati in Midrand, you've got a question.
Hi, Lerato and Doctor and Yanga. My question right now is, I'm in so much pain at the moment. I wish I could go see Dr. Vuyo right now, because it's excruciating. It is so painful. I made an appointment with my doctor. It's only going to be on Thursday, however, because unfortunately, endo is not treated as an emergency. And it's something that we who suffer it experience the pain every day, every day. So I just wanted to know if Dr. Vuyo, can I come see you today?
Oh, my gosh.
Any minute, any time, if you're available, I am going to come right now. I need a doctor. I've had this pains for like 3 weeks now. I don't know.
Okay, Lati, you're crying. You're crying, my love. Just hold on. Just hold on. Doctor, where are you located? Is it possible for Lati to come and see you? Can you refer her to someone? And what can you just say to assure her that it's going to be okay? And why is it not treated as an emergency?
To me personally, it should be treated as an emergency because the pain is so excruciating. And it's just that people have accepted it as a normal thing. That is why most of the practitioners, they don't see the urgency and the importance of attending to patients immediately, because it's a physical pain. It's psychologically and emotionally draining. So it should be regarded as a physical and psychological emergency. Having said that, I'm practicing between Welkom and KZN. However, I can commit to try to help Lerato to find someone who can care today.
So what I'm going to say, Lati, stay on the line. Please, Nondu, please can you take Lati's number and then connect Lati offline with Dr. Vuyo? And perhaps, Dr. Vuyo, you could just also tell her what medication to take right now as she's making her way to a local practitioner close by. Lati, we got you, okay? It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. A quick comment from Mpume.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I just want to correct something. It doesn't only affect women who are in the menstrual cycle period. Even after menopause, you still suffer from endometriosis. I've been on menopause for the past 4 years, 5 years. Because I had to remove my womb at the age of 43, but I'm still suffering. The same pain that Lati is talking about, I suffer from it from every day. So it's not a period. I think it's a lifetime disease. I think the doctor can comment or correct it.
Thanks for that, Mpume. And I think let's end on that comment, doctor, is that, you know, many women are advised to get a hysterectomy, which is the removal of the womb, which means you'll never fall pregnant. But even after you've done that, you still have the pains, as Mpume says. How do you explain that?
Yes, there are two explanations to that. The first one is sometimes endometriosis is misdiagnosed because sometimes the patients suffer from other chronic pelvic pain conditions, like high tone pelvic floor muscles, and other muscular conditions, interstitial cystitis, irritable bowel syndrome. So sometimes there is a confusion. That is why we need to be very meticulous with our history taking, examination, and so on. Sometimes they coexist. It's endometriosis and something else, and then only endometriosis is treated.
Okay.
Yes, it can persist beyond the menopause age because of several factors. Number one, the anatomy could be completely distorted. So the pain will always be there because of the distorted anatomy. Number two, even after menopause, because like fat cells, they still produce certain cells which can lead to production of estrogen peripherally. So they can still contribute to that and cause more pain.
Okay, I'm rushing you, Dr. Makanya. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I think maybe because we're still in March, maybe we can revisit this again. Wangi, just as a final comment, could you just give us a number where people can get in touch with the coalition, the Endometriosis Coalition?
We have a Facebook page, Endometriosis Coalition South Africa, or I don't know if it's possible to share my number.
Go ahead, very quickly.
066-064-2052 is my number for any medical assistance.
Okay, thank you so much. I hate to rush you, but it is time for the news, and we'll pick this up another time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.